We continue our scripture reading this morning in the prophet Jeremiah's book. We go back a ways in time and history to hear his words from God to us this morning. Let us be attentive. The words of Jeremiah, son of Hilkiah, of the priests who were in Anathoth in the land of Benjamin, to whom the word of the Lord came in the days of King Josiah, son of Amon of Judah, in the 13th year of his reign. It also came in the days of King Jehoiakim, son of Josiah of Judah, and until the end of the 11th year of King Zedekiah, son of Josiah of Judah, until the captivity of Jerusalem in the 5th month. Now the word of the Lord came to Jeremiah, saying, "Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you, and before you were born, I consecrated you. I appointed you a prophet to the nations. Then I said, 'Ah, Lord God, truly I do not know how to speak, for I am only a boy.' But the Lord said to me, 'Do not say I am only a boy, for you shall go to all to whom I send you, and you shall speak whatever I command you. Do not be afraid of them, for I am with you to deliver you, says the Lord.' Then the Lord put out his hand and touched Jeremiah's mouth, and the Lord said to him, 'Now I have put my words in your mouth. See, today I appoint you over nations and over kingdoms, to pluck up and to pull down, to destroy and to overthrow, to build and to plant.' This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God." Well, it is All Saints Sunday, and it's one of my favorite Sundays of the year. We stand here today because saints before us saw something with God that we benefit from today. My prayer is the same that will be said for us years down the road when they remember us. Prophets, though, seem a little archaic, if you don't know. Our minds immediately might go to the Old Testament, to Jeremiah or Isaiah, with the lesser-known prophets, and there are 12 of them, remaining backstage for another show. If I asked you, like I did some of our children and saw your answer, what your modern-day prophet would be, would you struggle to do so? Martin Luther King Jr. comes immediately to my mind. Maybe Mother Teresa, Susan B. Anthony with Sawyer, but who would come to your mind if I asked you, who is a modern day prophet? Would you have to pause before you had an answer to join the ranks of those before us? We struggle sometimes to name those prophets because, well, who and what makes up a prophet? Well, prophets, according to Webster, are a person who's an inspiring teacher or a proclaimer of the will of God. We like the first part of that definition, but not the second. But see, God, since the beginning, has used people to speak to the rest of us. Scripture calls them prophets, and the word that the prophets speak is always a word you already know. It's familiar because it's a word you have heard time and time again and don't recognize. Maybe you have forgotten it, ignored it. Maybe you never truly believed it or even trusted in it, and so you don't worry about the word they speak. Prophets are speaking the word of God, and if we dismiss the prophets, then their word of God falls on deaf ears. We have 4 major prophets in the Old Testament and 12 minor prophets, 16 prophets, if you will. At some point, we weren't listening. At some point, we thought we knew better. And at some point, I would have imagined God throwing up God's hands and saying, "I've had enough with you people. I'm just done." Yet God sends another prophet instead. Maybe you'll listen this time. And prophet after prophet, over and over again. Why? Well, to remind you of what's truly important. If you read all of the prophets, at least in the Old Testament, there were 2 themes that kept them up at night. The first was that God's people were too lackadaisical in their worship of God. And there was a disconnect of what happened on Sunday morning to what happened the rest of the week in their lives. Not uncommon if you only believe worship happens in this 1 hour on Sunday morning. But what drove the prophets perhaps even crazier than the worship was that when you return to worship next Sunday, you didn't even acknowledge there was a difference. The expectations from God would be forgiveness as always, and grace came to be taken for granted. The second thing the prophets spoke the most about was this: how unintentional God's people were about those who were in poverty. Read all of the prophets. The theme is so in your face, it's almost breathtaking. We would call it maybe today income equality, but some in Israel had the prosperity that others did not. The top had no concerns, obviously, yet those across the tracks or the streets or the state or any dividing line couldn't afford a daily bread. The prophets decried this separation. They spoke with urgency about when someone works all day, they should be able to eat at the end of the day. And when one among us who cannot eat, then we all should not eat. Remember that the prophets do speak the will of God, which means that God is not unintentional about how God feels about poverty. I don't want to be a prophet. If you read the prophets' lives in the Old Testament, bar the ones in modern day history, their lives are never easy. I cannot imagine having a divine word from God and trying day and night to get people to listen to you and you knowing the urgency and them ignoring it because we just won't listen. I'm grateful that God, though, continues to call prophets to be prophets. Could you imagine where we would be if God decided we did not need prophets anymore? Reinhold Niebuhr, a theologian and preacher of the last century, said something that resonates with me. And he was talking about us preachers. He said that preachers in general lack courage. He's right about that. He goes on to say, I think the real clue in the tameness of a preacher is the difficulty one finds in telling unpleasant truths to people whom one has learned to love. And he's right about that too. Prophets are known to speak the truth in love. And who wants to encounter anyone who wants to tell them an unpleasant truth to someone who's supposed to love them? There are no lines forming for that profession, if you will. Yet there are some among us who do seem to enjoy telling unpleasant truths. We know those folks, maybe not in this room. The ones who are quick to judge or make the announcement of what is wrong with everything they see in sight. They enjoy telling all who hear of the missteps that are happening. We might think those people are prophets, but just because you're the loudest on the street corner or the one who judges the most, that is not a prophet's qualities. Prophetic language all throughout the Old Testament and even in modern times has judgment encased within it, however. Yet judgment is just judgment unless it's spoken with love. If you read the prophets, none of them were going to win a popularity contest. Jeremiah even says this morning, anyone but me. I'm a boy. I have no words. I'm too young. He, along with Isaiah, though, are our favorite prophets. And the truth Jeremiah is called to speak is not an easy one. He spoke a truth to God's people while they were in exile to remember who they were, no matter if they could worship in the temple or not. He could see the missteps from where God was asking them to do, and he had to point it out. Not easy at all. Who wants to tell that unpleasant truth? Yet if you listen to Jeremiah and other prophets, seldom do they tell us things we do not already know? He became a voice for the poor. We already know that they are poor, however. Take a modern day example. If Jeremiah is too far removed from our experience, Martin Luther King Jr. He did not tell us anything we did not already know in his speeches. The one from Birmingham Jail, the I Have a Dream speech we so love to tell. He didn't tell us anything we did not already know. Racism is evil, and that we are all created in the image of God, whether we want to know it, we want to ignore it, or we want to believe it. It's true, but we consider it a little unimportant. Yet if you have eyes to see and you already know this information, then what is the true problem and why does God need to send all these prophets? Well, the problem is we don't consider it a priority. We don't consider it a priority to listen to the will of God. The prophets then speak how we take God's grace for granted, and we do. We only want to come on Sunday mornings sometimes and punch our card and make sure our name is signed on the dotted line. But what happens Monday through Saturday, the prophets want to ask you. All we wish for is a clean slate, oh God. Why must everything always be so hard? Maybe if we just don't worry about it, it won't be important. With so much begging for our attention, it's easy to lose that focus and that knowledge of the prophets. And when we do, we forget how much it affects not only us, but everyone else. Our actions do have consequences on others. A colleague tells of a story when he was visiting with a friend several years ago. They were at a local coffee shop, and they were sitting across the table from each other, catching up on long overdue stories. And I asked, well, tell me about your dad, he says. The gentleman got quiet and began to look away, and his eyes began to tear up a little, and he says, my dad just doesn't get me. He just doesn't get me. He then recounted a conversation that had happened 20 years ago when he was a young adult. He said, Dad was doing whatever dads do, telling me my life was silly and I wasn't really making a contribution. He wondered why I would waste all of my life. And he said to my colleague, Bill, I can't get those words out of my head. And you know, years later, when I finally got the nerve to confront my dad about it, he didn't even remember the conversation. The thing I cannot forget, he cannot remember. 20 plus years. We need prophets. We need prophetic saints. We need prophets to help us remember what we have already heard before, but we just cannot remember. A word that we have forgotten or ignored or seemed so insignificant to us at the time. A word that we never believed or trusted, or a word that we just thought, well, that's just someone else talking. You see, Jeremiah's word is that he's appointed to pluck up and pull down, to overthrow and to destroy, to build and to plant. But building and planting only comes after you do what? You till the soil, after an awakening or a destruction. But why? Because there always needs to be a reorientation of priorities for even the soil and for even us. Francis Spufford says it this way: whenever the line is drawn between good and evil, between acceptable and unacceptable, between kind and cruel, between clean and dirty, we're always going to be walking on both sides of that line. And that's not by accident. It's our active inclination to break stuff, including moods and our promises to each other, our relationships we care about, and even our own well-being. You see, the prophets knew something that we need to remember, that we do need that forgiveness and grace, yet that's not all we need. We need them to constantly remind us when we forget or when we don't care. We need those people to remind us over and over again what is right and what is ultimately important. And sometimes we don't like what they say to us. For instance, you visit your doctor, you feel just fine. They draw blood, and it takes one over a look at that, and the doctor says to you, "Your weight is not where it needs to be. Your cholesterol is up again. Your blood pressure seems to be on the rise. What's stressing you out? What year was it when you thought exercise was bad for you and you stopped? And gummy bears is not a nutritional fruit." At that point, it's hard not to feel judged by that prophet. Yet we take the truth spoken by that doctor as a judgment. The doctor did not give you those conditions, however. They're already there. It is who we are. The doctor stating just how the picture seems of your health and the consequence it costs you and it will cost others. It happens when you are unhealthy. But the same goes for prophets about our spiritual health. Amos said, "Let justice roll down like waters, condemning the lack and care of the poor." Isaiah says, "A man of unclean lips, and I live among a people of unclean lips." You can't say anything nice about one another. Ezekiel saw a people so spiritually dead, they were a valley of dry bones that needed resurrection. I can think of modern day prophets who've spoken truth to me when I've forgotten or just completely downright ignored that truth. But think of prophets today. I call them prophetic saints because it really does take a saint to repeat a word over and over and over again when that person does not want to listen. So who's been that prophetic saint or those people in your lives who've spoken the truth in love to you? Who are those folks? Maybe parents, grandparents, friends, neighbors, loved ones, your spouse even? Who are those saints? Who are the modern day saints who have done this work on behalf of the world that tells us time and time again what we're doing and we already know? So who are those people who have reminded you of the faithfulness of God's love to us all? The ultimate truth that God does sure love us a lot more than we know. Name those saints. Allow to yourself or to your God, name those saints. My grandmother, my grandfather, Mother Teresa, Martin Luther King Jr., the five saints we'll remember today at this table. They all watch over us, reminding, and even as they live an eternal life, telling us and reminding us of the truth we always need to hear, that we're loved, that we're called, we're forgiven, and grace is ours. But that's not all there is to being a prophetic saint. You then have to take that and speak it yourself. We're all called to do that. And I guess God could say, "I'm done with you all. You haven't been listening." I suppose God could say that. But the love of God is sure persistent, isn't it? I'm thankful of the saints that who have spoken a prophetic word to this church and to you, saints, who sit alive among us today. Yes, your story is still being written, but the community hears it loud and clear. A word of love, a word of connection, a word of growing and living and building together. Because that is truly the will of God, that we are together as saints alive today and saints alive for tomorrow. May it always be so. Amen.